Get Out the Room is back.
That's right.
2 in 2 weeks.
Why?
Because we love you. Or it's just that time of year where there's enough shit going out that we absolutely have to go see and talk about it. So here we are. I'm your host, Day. Get Out the Room is a horror and I don't even know at this point. Pop culture, whatever the hell we feel like talking, podcast. You can find us on Podomatic. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio. I think the Wicked Radio Network is still up. And Listenopoly. But let's get to the show. So as always, I got my people with me. Scott, you feeling rested?
I'm well rested, ready to go. 2 in 2 weeks, man. We're flying by right now.
Hey, man, primed for 85, brother. Primed.
Absolutely.
And speaking of 2 in 2 weeks, the Greatest American Hero is back again.
I recognize that shade, and I rebuke you, Satan.
No, you will not rebuke. You will embrace, and you will love it. You will love it. And on top of the regular group that you've come to know and love, we have two guests in the house. They hail from the same podcast, and they've become family. They've become very quick family to the Get Out the Room gang. We have the, I guess, the front man of Say Something Nice.
I try not to. I don't want to.
You could be our Eddie Kendricks. That's okay.
No, I'd rather be Eddie Kendricks and not David Ruffin.
I was definitely about to call you David Ruffin.
I would be like, I'm David Ruffin, and these are the Temptations.
These are the Temptations.
That wouldn't go well. So nah. So like, we're like a socialist regime. So
wow. better him than Tammy Terrell, right?
Lord Jesus, why do you keep doing that to that woman?
I didn't do anything to her that God didn't already do, all right?
So, the other voice is John from Say Something Nice. Number one, wow. Number two, wow. And if you do all the editing and pay all the bills, you're the front man. So guess what?
Okay.
Well. Happy to be here on Get Out the Closet this week.
Oh boy! I didn't realize we were taking over the show.
This is what happens when you give him alcohol.
I am completely sober. What I do have is peanut M&Ms.
What was that word again? What was it?
Sober.
Okay.
With a P or a B?
All right.
What's that mean?
The first time
I don't.
The first time you said sober, so you know.
I want to slur my words, and I don't appreciate Brandon making fun of my lisp.
He's on that Dustin. Mm-hmm. Sly went in on ya. Get some of that Stranger Thing on ya. But as everybody should know if you listen to this show, that the big news for the week is the return of the Blair Witch. Yay! Mm-hmm. We went back to Burkittsville. And I do not believe that many of us really wanted to go back there.
Well, I wouldn't have minded going back if the trip was worth it. Oh. So that becomes the question. Was the trip worth it?
Oh. We're going to start them off hot. Start them off hot.
This is the third of the Blair Witch movies, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the second one was reportedly decent.
No, no, it's not.
Is that the worst one?
Yeah, oh, by far. No.
Story time.
Yeah, that is a lie.
Yeah, the second one is like dumpster fire.
Once upon a time, I was in college, and during my very first semester in college when Blair Witch 2 came out. I had just seen Blair Witch 1 because I apparently found out I went to the same school as the creators, and it more or less was a thing. You have to see Blair Witch Project. You have to see the Blair Witch Project. The guys who made it went here. So I watched it, and, you know, it's all right. I wasn't wowed by it. I also saw it on a TV that was probably smaller than my head, so, you know.
See, now that's a problem, though. The original Blair Witch was meant to be seen in a theater.
Okay. And so
that's definitely part of the aesthetic.
Yeah, so we went to go see Blair Witch 2 because, you know, dude, they're doing Blair Witch 2. We got to go see Blair Witch 2 on, you know, a big screen, you know, in, like, the fancy theater downtown. And that shit was terrible. Yeah. It wasn't even fun terrible. It was just, like, boring terrible. It's like, what in the hell? Like, you start counting popcorn kernels in your bag versus paying attention to what's going on the screen.
Yeah, no, it's a bad movie. Like, the second one's a bad movie.
I think I've seen a few minutes of the first one, but that's, like, the only part of the trilogy I've seen.
All right, well, Scott, you want to talk about the significance of the Blair Witch in this, in general?
The significance, the setup, what do we just, in general, the Blair Witch?
The POV, you know, whatever.
I mean, the Blair Witch Project kind of started the found footage, you know.
Renaissance, thing. Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't really the first found footage. I guess that would belong to Cannibal Holocaust, I suppose.
Correct.
But Blair Witch kind of popularized it. I mean, when it came out, everybody thought initially that it was real.
And they sure did.
Yeah, and that was the big thing. Everybody thought, man, you know, this is a documentary. We got to go check this out. And that was the big thing. And I think a lot of the actors, if I remember correctly, were told not to appear in public. You know, they really pushed that, and the marketing was this was real, and it eventually, of course, was revealed obviously that it was not. But that's the initial push, the initial money that it made was the curiosity, and I remember seeing this in the theater. I've only seen the original one once, and I thought it was really great. I knew it was a movie when I went in. I wasn't one of the early goers. I had went after the fact, and I really enjoyed it. I'm a found footage fan, though, so, you know, I like a good found footage movie, and Blair Witch Project is a good found footage movie, so I haven't seen the second one, so I can't complain about that. I tried to stay far away from it.
Yeah, keep doing that.
Yeah.
Stay away from that shit. That ain't no good. You know, the thing about the Blair Witch, though, also, is that the original one, the Blair Witch Project, was the greatest return on investment for any film ever, apparently.
Right. It's the most successful, and from that perspective, it's the most successful film in the history of the motion picture business.
Right. Was it
Let's go to the stats on that one.
It was like $10,000 that they came out with.
the full total product cost of it was like $750,000. It did cost them $40,000 to shoot it.
Yep, there it is.
Lionsgate spent an extra $500,000, $700,000 to do the marketing and, you know, prints and stuff.
Yep.
They've come so far from that to Tyler Perry movies.
Yeah, well, they grossed, what, $120,000, $140,000?
Budget was $60,000.
Mm-hmm.
$248,000.
Mm. Yeah. But didn't the people who should, didn't they not make a dime off of that shit?
I think they sold it to Lionsgate for like $1 million flat.
Oh.
Or at $1.1 million. Let me get the exact number for you.
Oh.
That sucks.
Believe in your work. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they didn't get that Nate Parker money.
No, they didn't.
I mean, hey, as an indie movie fan, as an indie movie maker, if you're getting $1 million to sell them an idea like this,
yeah,
I take it too.
Yeah, I mean, most people are.
Yep.
But goddamn, man, like, you're just fucking playing yourself. When you look at, you know, they made 240 times what they what they gave you.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah, it was Artisan, not Lionsgate. Lionsgate just happens to own their catalog now. Yeah, they bought it for $1.1 billion, and they apparently spent $25 million to market it. My bad. So
they spent $25 million. That had to be after the initial reception, though.
Yeah,
it might have been.
Got to be. After they realized that this shit was killing, that had to be the only way you do that.
Right.
But, Tone, when you got to the theater, what was your theater like?
Are we talking about number one or this
one? No, this one right here. The Blair Witch that was originally titled Woods.
Pretty dead, to be honest.
Yeah.
Pretty dead. There was a few people there. There was me. there was this really annoying teenage couple behind me that I had to grown man on, which really bothered me. But
that's really funny. Because I'm that, just imagine you basing up on them in a theater.
I just wanted them to shut the fuck up, really.
And get off your lawn. Too much.
Right. Get off my lawn.
Hey, we're talking about grass. I hand planted some joints.
Meddling kids.
Yeah, did so.
I got, what?
Did you get there on time? Did you see the previews? What previews were in front of yours?
No, I did not get there on time. Typical New York fashion, I walked in there late.
Black bastard.
Had the movie already started, or was it winding up?
I had got there just before the movie started, so like during all the production credits.
Okay.
That's how it was for me when I saw Keanu. I was very sad about that. My favorite horror movie that I've seen this year.
Keanu? That's mean.
A lot of people like that film.
It was cute.
That wasn't a word they used, but... Okay, alright. I honestly don't like this movie enough to not spoil it. So
can we be honest? Can we be honest? I think we can. I think we can spoil it.
It's the same damn movie.
Yeah.
If you've seen the Blair Witch Project,
it's the exact same movie.
The exact same movie. Only difference is it takes place today, so they have little Bluetooth-esque ear cameras on, so they
can yes.
cut like a regular movie does. They have a useless drone that's basically a MacGuffin. But other than that, same movie, and they have better sound design. Better other than that, same movie, same basic beat, plot beats, same general runtime. It's the same movie.
Well, they add a little bit of mythos. So they explained why.
That makes it even worse.
What, the fact that they explained the mythos, or the fact that they like they told you why you're supposed to stand in the corner?
Both.
No, well, in the first movie, they kind of explain why you're supposed to stand in the corner to a small degree, so that didn't shock me. The thing that bothered me was that these are people who had seen found footage, and this dumbass, silly mom still want to turn around and look. Like, why? For what?
Yeah.
Like, what are you thinking?
Yep. Scott, you?
I was waiting to get a chance. I actually really liked it. Yes, it was the same movie, but I liked them explaining a little more of the supernatural and the mythos. I'm one of the ones, like I said, I had only seen the Blair Witch Project once, and one of the only things I remember is the ending, which I really loved from the first film. And I like that they never really outright said exactly about standing in the corner, but it was enough to make you go, oh, they had mentioned that earlier in the film, and that's exactly what happened. That's how those characters got. And in this, I liked it. I liked the interjection of new stuff. I liked that you got to see the witch a little bit. I liked the, I liked the explanation about standing in the corner. I don't mind stupid characters in horror movies if I enjoy them. There's stupid characters. There are stupid characters in every single horror movie that we watch. That's just the way it is.
Absolutely.
The only time that's been absolutely frustrating to me is Jeepers Creepers, which is a movie I hate because of the decisions they make.
The original Jeepers Creepers, right? With Derry?
Yes, with Derry, Justin Long. And
yeah, Derry.
I've never yelled at a screen in a theater before besides that movie. I was furious with that stupid
I enjoyed that. But in retrospect, it really is like the Legends of Tomorrow of horror movies. It's like the characters just can't get out their own way.
Sir.
It's a terrible show.
You would not disrespect the team Wave Rider and Rip Hunter.
Yeah.
Right, they're not in control themselves. I understand.
Yeah, it's I agree.
But no, I really enjoyed it. I went in thinking that I would hate it, actually. So we've watched a bunch of crap on this on the show before. You know, I remember you remember back when we covered Sinister 2?
Yes.
And you were like, we got to cover Sinister 2. Fuck, man, I don't want to go see that shit. And, well, I went. I left the theater and I was pissed at Damon. I was just like, God, I actually expected this Blair Witch to be the exact same thing. I remember I went a little late. I was just like, fuck, man, I got to go see this bullshit. And I left. I was pleasantly surprised. I really was. I enjoyed it. The theater I was in didn't have a lot of people in it. There were a couple groups of five plus, and then a couple that was sitting next to me, and that's about it. And I really liked it. I didn't mind the jump scares. I didn't mind, like I said, didn't mind the stupid characters. I liked seeing the Blair Witch a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I'm also a sucker for found footage, so maybe that plays a little bit into it too. But I was pleasantly surprised.
I mean, these characters are stupid.
Yes.
And they start out the movie, you think that, oh, they get it. They understand. They've seen, you know, in their world, the Blair Witch Project is an actual documentary. They've seen this thing before. They seem to understand what happens, you know, especially the two black people, you know, about what happens when you go out into the woods and everything. But they make so many dumb decisions. Dumb decisions.
You see, all right, you're going way too far. Because okay. The biggest thing is, as soon as they decided to go to the woods, it was a wrap.
I get they weren't going to escape, I guess. But so at the same time, you could be smarter about what you're doing.
Dog, they made a big deal out of showing you the electrocuted tree, so you recognize that when they got to the house, the house is directly next to the tree. Did you see that?
Yes.
Yeah.
When it started raining. Yes.
Well, they panned back to the tree like five times.
Right.
Like, they hit you way over the head, like, hey, this is a tree.
But, I mean, this was playing into, I mean, hell, they played a little bit with time travel. They played with getting lost, just a labyrinth. I bought into it. I enjoyed it. I liked that it was kind of, it was really supernatural. I remember I asked Damon yesterday, or maybe it was this morning, I said, was the Blair Witch Project supernatural? Because I don't think it was at all. And this one was just straight supernatural.
Yeah,
I mean, like everything about it was...
Dude said that it's been 5 days since they had seen him.
Yeah.
And it was like a couple hours since they had last seen him. It's weird.
I did enjoy that. I enjoyed that part of that where we wandered around for 5 days and never saw sunlight. I dug that. But you can't just give me one little piece of cool ensconced in, you know, the biggest piece of shit I've ever seen and expect me to walk away with a smile on my face. I mean, honestly, like, real talk, the minute this movie started, it was a bad decision. Like, how you gonna watch your sister get abducted and killed on camera and be like, you know what, I think she's still alive. Let's go do the exact same shit she did.
Let's go find her.
And not only that.
There's no logic in that.
None. Your sister died 20 years ago, or been lost for 20 years. You think she's still out there? Was she eating nuts and berries?
Yeah, no, that was a weird thing. And, you know, and I'm not going to ruin the ending, but, like, as soon as that shit happened, I was like, I knew it. I fucking knew it. You know, John, you want to jump in here?
You know, I don't know what I have to add.
Wow.
I don't know that I will, it's great that I'm on the podcast talking about it. Sorry, guys. But no, you know, I don't know if I'm sure it'll be on HBO or something at some point.
Yeah.
Netflix.
It will.
Netflix, but the whole thing with, you know, horror movie characters making bad decisions, you know, that's not super new, you know. It's kind of a trope at this point. It's like, yes, okay, all right.
To an extent.
Trying to fill the plot.
That's not an excuse. I mean,
right.
It's simply just, I guess it's, if they didn't make that bad decision at the beginning, then you don't have the movie.
Right, but that's a lot. Like, even I watched The Green Room finally, and I'm like, okay, granted, okay, you're putting the, you're going to try to put the gun through the door, great. That's not going to work out well.
Well, I mean, the motherfucker pulled the nub back, though.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. He paid for that.
Motherfucker had to use duct tape to keep his shit on.
So on the flip side, and we just talked about this, when we're talking about the movie Lights Out, we had characters making a lot of really smart, practical decisions.
Yep.
And the movie was still scary. So I just don't accept this idea that...
Yep, you gotta be bad at this.
...complete idiot for a horror movie to work. I just don't accept it.
I agree. I've seen it.
No, I think, you know, a lot of the scripts just seem lazy. And I don't know if it's because of the production costs. A lot of them are very cheaply made. You know, it's not something that usually makes a ton of money. So, I mean, I get that they don't put the love and effort into it, but it's a little disappointing.
But the thing is, the love and effort was put into this one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And so this one had a $5 million budget. It's already made $16.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, I think it was second this weekend behind Sully or Scully, whatever the fuck.
Sully. John Sully. Saw that shit.
White Flight.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally, White Flight. Yeah.
Like, you can't give me a 2.5-hour movie over a plane as an air for 43 seconds. Get the fuck.
I mean, you're thinking, you know, when the bow breaks didn't have suspense. I mean, White Flight had, like, zero. I'm like, okay, I get it. Yes, everybody lives. I get it. Tom Hanks is great. Yes.
That's the entire fucking film.
Yay, white people.
Right. Just, you know, ooh. You know what? I would like to give myself a pat on the back for resisting what I was about to say, so yay me.
Oh, wait, you can't tease us.
What are you going to say? We got to know.
Yeah, come
on. Exactly. You got to say it.
Yeah, come on, dude.
I'm not putting that out into this world. This world fucked up enough. Motherfuckers getting shot with their hands up out here. Motherfuckers getting shot, and they playing PCP on motherfuckers like they was putting crack on you like in the 90s and the 80s. Nah, I'm cool, man. So, we just going to keep it to these cinema movies.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so like, give me a couple. I want each one of you to give me your favorite moment in the movie, or your least favorite moment in a movie.
I'll go first. I thought the opening credits were really well done.
son of a bitch.
The title, the sound design, it was wonderful.
That Lionsgate logo, it never looked better, huh?
Least favorite? The rest of the movie. No.
I was a little let down by the ending. Not because it happened, just because I was sad to see the movie end. I was enjoying it so much.
So, for ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know, turn the sarcasm meter to 100 when John is talking.
Always.
Adjust accordingly when other people are talking.
I look forward to your guys' comments for this podcast.
Oh, Lord.
Send the ball to BTech.
At Twitter.
Oh, Lord. All right, so my turn. I have a tie for my favorite moment.
Okay.
One is when Peter, who's the black dude, when they're in the house of the locals, they're going to take them into the woods, and they have this nice, lovely Confederate flag on the wall.
No, it's not like that's just gigantic. Yo, what are those fucking athlete decals that you put on the wall and shit?
Fathead.
Yeah, it's a fathead of a Confederate flag. That bitch is gigantic.
Right. He looks at the flag, and looks at the camera, and shakes his head. The entire theater busts out laughing because we all got it. And my second favorite moment was when I think it was something about the lady who was the film student was like, you know, should we go deeper into the woods? And both Peter and his girlfriend were like, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Least favorite moment, somebody decides they want to be an outdoor explorer and perhaps scale an object they shouldn't scale. Yep. And you see that entire setup coming a mile away.
But you still laughed.
No, actually I didn't. I sort of rolled my eyes. Because I was just like, really? I was a bit through with that one. Can I spoil? Like, I'm trying not to spoil, like, because, like.
Well, shit out of it, bro.
Okay. So it's the girl, she's got a foot injury. How'd she climb her ass up that tree with a foot injury? because she barely could walk. She's pulling weird stuff out the foot, out the leg. You know, demon.
What the fuck was it she pulled out of her leg?
I think it was supposed to be just like some sort of like evil branch thingy. Because like,
nah, it looked insect like,
or it looked like a. Yeah, I was gonna say like tapeworm or like a feather or something.
Yeah, like a tapeworm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the Evil Dead crossover. That'll be nice.
Nah, Jane Levy's already signed up for the Fede Alvarez. The folks who virtually don't breathe, they already got that.
All right, so those are mine.
Scott?
I tell you, my least favorite was when... what was the black dude's name? Peter?
Peter,
okay.
Of course, your least favorite was the black dude's
race. No. Will you calm down?
There's a...
My least favorite... was when he went into the woods. He kept wanting to go into the woods by himself.
That's not realistic for a black character. That is my new...
Not at all realistic. Not at all.
But it's not realistic. I was sitting there. I think I said out loud, "The fuck are you doing going in there after all this shit has happened?" He's like, "I'm going to go collect the..." He said it like two different times in the movie, too.
Yep.
Where he just wandered into the woods, and he's the one that's so careful and doesn't want to be out there yet. He goes, "No, don't worry about it.
If I needed firewood and I'm in the woods, I'm taking five steps to the left.
Yes, that many, exactly.
And
yes.
I'm pricking branches off where I'm at.
He
I'm not
straight up a mile away.
Let's talk about the fact that, think about the fact that they had already got the fire started.
Yeah.
You're right. That's why you need more black writers in Hollywood, because, you know, white curiosity doesn't need to be the viewpoint of every character in a movie.
Seriously. Right. Like, literally, he would have just been like, no. Mm-mm. I'll burn a tent, but I'm not going out in the woods.
Oh,
that.
But that was the part both times when he did that. It just shocked me. And, you know, the girl climbing the tree also was... I think I laughed while she was doing it, because it's just, but it was like, it's one of those, you know, it was just, I expected her to fall. So when she fell, I was just like, oh, okay, good, she fell. So my favorite part, though, I think, was when they found those guys and they mentioned the 5-day gap. I thought that was kind of an interesting turn. And I also liked seeing the actual witch. I thought that was, I didn't mind. I thought I would mind, but I thought that was pretty cool.
And I mean, they didn't give you the full thing.
No, which... and that's why I like that they just kind of showed it a little bit, because they mentioned, you know, they tied stones to her arms and legs, and she kind of stretched out a little bit. So
like on a rack, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like big stick lady walking around. I like that. I thought that was cool. And I too, also like the scene where they saw the Confederate flag. I hate seeing that shit. I felt the exact same way they did, too. So,
they still went into the woods with them people.
I know.
But Peter was ready to fuck them up at a drop, like a moment's notice.
I would have clapped if he actually had drawn some blood on dude. I would have clapped. I would have stood up in the
theater. Look, Peter started coming at him. Dude ran into the bushes, literally ran into the bushes. So, you know, it's not going to get much more than that. All right, Tom. Wow.
Look, I've been quiet for a reason. So, I guess my favorite part was, again, the 5-day time gap. I thought that was really cool. I thought that was a very a bright shining moment in this dull turd. And I also loved the moment when homegirl turned around and got killed by the Blair Witch. Because at that point, I had been pardoned from this shitty ass movie. So. That's me.
Wow, you really didn't like this show. Okay, no, so.
It's just, the first one was, no. It's just, look, I have a high tolerance for fuckery in horror movies, because I do get that that's a big part of it, but this movie, for the first one to have been so grounded, and it's like, okay, we're curious young white people, and we're going to go out in the hills and the mountains and in the woods and go look for something that could potentially kill us. Okay, sure. you can chalk that up to people maybe not really believing it's real or whatever. Okay, cool. But now you got a family member of one of these people who ain't seen his sister in at least a decade, maybe two.
Two decades,
and you want to go and do, it's not even like, let's go out to the woods and arm up to kill this thing. Or let's learn from their mistakes so we can survive this experience. It's, let's do the exact same thing that got everybody killed. It's just the dumbest shit ever. Mm-hmm. Like, it really is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about you, Day?
My favorite moment was the lawn chair. When old girl got folded like a goddamn lawn chair. That shit made my entire fucking night. Literally. I was like, all right, worth the price of admission. Seriously. She got fucking folded. I laughed hysterically in the theater. The other four people in the theater turned around and looked at me.
I like that there were only four other people at the theater.
Yeah, there was only five of us total. So, that shit was cool. My least favorite, out of all the tropes, we're still killing the black dude first.
Yeah, that's him.
Scott,
shit going in, though.
Scott,
it
go
sounds
ahead.
Like he, it in. Sounds like he had it coming. If he's the one that's been like, oh, let's go investigate.
He had it coming.
Well, nah, he had it coming, not for that reason.
He only had himself to blame.
They set it up
from something.
He was going to be the first. Look, we talked about this today too. So, you know, this is the type of movie that, would normally have four white people as the main characters. Right. I at least liked that they had two black characters in the movie. I liked that they did.
And one Latina, too.
It's morning in America, truly.
You a mess.
I guess all I'm saying is I knew from the start he was going to die first. Simply, it wouldn't matter what color he was. He was going to die first, regardless. He was the friend of the main character. The girl, the main girl wasn't going to die. That guy was, it was going to be that dude. So, yes, it sucks that happened, that it happens that way, but I guess I expected him to die, so it wasn't as big a deal to me.
Yeah, nah, that shit still pissed me off. you know, like, even though he was, like, questioning and kind of being a dick about everything, the idea's like, but he's the best friend. You know, when old girl got her foot cut, I was like, oh, maybe she'll die first. Wrong. But, you know.
It's too easy. It was too easy when she hurt her foot.
Yeah.
Although, did you guys think when they took the sock off, I kept thinking it was going to be, like, in the shape of that twig.
Me too, yeah.
Like, I thought that was going to be the case.
Well, he would have freaked out. He wouldn't have been able to hide it. That should have been too good.
Yeah, but he saw something fucking poke out of her
foot. Yeah. The whatever that thing was that she pulled out, that's what was there. That worm, whatever that thing is.
Fucked up.
Leech,
yeah.
Perhaps?
Was that some. That definitely wasn't a leech, but they did talk about the fact that there were leeches in the water.
Wow.
We out here singing Negro.
Speaking of Empire...
Wow.
I'm just so happy that there's somebody more ratchet than me on this.
We brought the ratchetness from the Say Something Nice podcast.
Shade.
You should hear Ken. Yeah.
In my mind, the sentence was going to be like a full five words longer. You should hear Ken.
Yeah. I trail off a lot.
They just didn't finish. All right, so now we need to give our slashes. Here we do 10. Fucking Kirk Cousins. John, slashes for this?
9.5.
So a half a slash is what you'd give it?
Half a slash, a baby slash.
A baby slash. Okay, all right. Brandon?
Oh. So, what, I...
Five? Scale, 0 to 10.
Yep. All right. 5. Well, actually, technically 6. I mean, it's the same movie, but it's a better version of the same movie, but not by much. I mean, the characters are still dumb, but
I don't think it's a better movie. At all.
Was it better than Batman versus Superman for you, Brandon?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really, really,
and you know that I'm a huge Superman fan. And
holy shit! And it's only getting 6.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Martha.
I'm a Ferguson's. All right, so 6. So is that really 6, or is that like a 6 by proxy?
It's a 6 by proxy. I probably more like a 4 is what I want to say.
Okay.
Why are you being bashful? Go in, son. Go in.
Right. Like
I try sometimes to be like, well, if you like this movie, that movie, you might like this. You know, like when I viewed Sausage Party. Sausage Party, I'll never see a frame of that ever again, but it's exactly the film it's supposed to be. So you try to figure how exactly do you be fair about reviewing it.
You don't have to. That's the beauty of our show.
Yeah,
we don't give a shit if it's fair. like last week, Tone tried to give a movie that did not nearly deserve it a full 10.
You know what, sir?
Oh, yeah, wait. Hold on. What was that again? What movie was that again?
Yeah, Tom.
I think it was Lights Out.
It was Lights Out. You tried to give Lights Out 10 slashes.
Tone, so, you can be George W. Bush. Fuck the popular vote. Go ahead.
Wow.
You, sir, are an asshole. And I love
you. See how we treat guests? We treat you so well.
All right, so I'll stay with 4 then.
4, a strong 4. Scott?
Okay, so I liked it. And when you said 6, I was just like, man, I mean, you kind of shit on it. You give it a 6. That's pretty good. I mean, 6 is good in my book.
It's not good. 6 is watchable.
Well, okay. I mean, watchable with the way you guys were talking about it. I didn't think 6 would even be mentioned. I really liked it. So my initial reaction walking out was, this might be an 8.
Holy fuck.
But
you keep saying you really liked it, but then like you really liked it.
Hold on a minute. But it's not better than I Am Not a Serial Killer, which we did review, and I gave that a 7.5.
Yeah.
So that means Blair Witch is a 7.
Or I Am Not a Serial Killer could now be an 8.
I mean, that would be fine too. But I feel comfortable with the 7 on Blair Witch. Look, I mean, I agree. The character was, I enjoyed it though. The character was stupid, but I enjoyed the movie.
Yeah.
So,
I think that's fair. I mean, it's a totally different subject once again, but like I would give Suicide Squad a 7.
Yeah.
And all, but you know what? It's a stupid movie.
Same reasons. It's fun. I like the characters. I enjoyed it.
Last on the piss of hell.
I have no problem with giving Suicide Squad a 7. It's just jointed as it was. There was still enough there where I'd be like, you know what?
3.
Wow, that is harsh.
It'd be a 4, maybe a 3.5 or a 4.
Okay, are we agreeing that it's better than Batman versus Superman?
Yes, everything.
So,
yes.
So if so, where is Batman versus Superman at 2, which I think is unfair to that.
No.
I almost want to run them right, put them right next to each other because they're both bad movies in different ways.
I would put Batman vs. Superman as a 5 and Suicide Squad as a 7.
We voted on Batman vs. Superman on this show. I remember giving it a 4.5 because it was less than average.
Mm. Yep.
It's so disjointed.
I give it a 4 and a half, somewhere between a 4 and a 5. Like it was. No, it wasn't getting a passing grade for me.
Suicide Squad is a movie that takes place outside of doors at night that doesn't use rim lights or fill lights so you can actually see what the hell is going on. BVS is a misedited movie that is one of the most disjointed, like, mainstream films I've ever seen.
Also mismarketed.
Extremely
mismarketed, yeah. I mean, there was almost no fighting between the two of them, yeah.
You know, like they marketed it as this gigantic fight between two comic book titans, when in actuality, had very little to do with the entire, well, nobody knows what the actual plot was, but, you know, for what you're watching, had very little to do with that.
The plot, as it were, involved pee in a glass jar on a senator's desk.
I love that, but, you know, I'm into different stuff than you guys are, so, you know, I'm allowing
Jonathan.
Safe space.
Wait, hold on now. Hold on now. I mean, if you've opened the golden shower.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I mean.
Oh, yeah, why not?
You know, I mean, fuck it. If we're going to talk about it, we're going to talk about it. So, are golden shower something that happened? Is that something we say we're into, or is that something we say we're not particularly afraid of? Because those are two very different things.
I'm not into it, but I'm not bothered by it.
Wait, hold on a minute. What happened?
I feel like I stopped listening for a minute.
I stopped listening for a minute, and then now you're talking about golden showers. Wow.
Yeah, that's what happens if you let John talk on a podcast. <'cause Brandon's laughs>
No, don't give him a pass. That's a rookie mistake, Scott. You know better. You know we'll be on tangents. You got to keep up.
Yeah, but dude, golden showers, that's a hell of a tangent right there. We were just talking about Batman versus Superman. Now we're talking about pissing on people. I mean, come on.
I blame Zack Snyder, as with most things.
I'll let you pee on you.
That's fair.
I'll let you pee on you. Yeah.
Oh, God.
So at a time like this, Brandon would say, sir.
He would. Well, sir.
I like it. I mean, we don't really go there very often, so I'm actually quite happy that we went to the point of golden showers for no fucking reason whatsoever. Great.
Yeah, all right. We're having these are two banner episodes right here. This is
hey.
Something else.
We back, motherfuckers. We back. Tony, you last one? You last one up for slashes?
You're still too, David.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, like, if it wasn't for the lawn chair moment and the 5 days in the dark, it would be getting a worse score, but I'm going to give it a 3.5.
Oh, no. I would give it... maybe 5.5. Maybe 5. It's very average. You know, I think there was an opportunity for it to be a different type of film, and I imagine that when it was originally The Woods, it could have been, but I think the sequel treatment did not lend itself very well. So, I don't know. Yeah.
No.
5. No. 5.
No. No, you cannot give this movie a 5.
You really did not like
it. You have to put this in the context of the first movie.
It's so terrible. It does not stand up to the first movie at all. I can't even begin to let you believe.
If this was an average, if this was a regular old run-of-the-mill movie, sure, go ahead and give it a 5 or a 5.5. This came after one of the most seminal, at least in recent years, horror movies.
I've heard this argument before, and I feel the same way.
Green Baby Doo-Doo. Like, this is terrible. This is the shit that makes you want to puke when you're changing your kid's diapers. Like, this is terrible. You can't give this a 5.
You could just call it The Blair Witch Awakens.
Yeah. Don't look like she ever went to sleep.
I don't know why
you're
trying to raise my blood pressure on this movie right now. I don't understand.
Well, just like how, you know... The Force Awakens is a shot-for-shot remake, basically.
It is not a shot-for-shot remake of A New Hope. This is a shot-for-shot remake of The Blair Witch, though.
You know, it's the same thing.
A New Hope and The Force Awakens are similar. This is a remake of Blair Witch. It's far more similar to each other than Force Awakens and A New Hope.
Please. See, Tone, you're not the only one with your blood pressure up.
Wow. Have you been drinking?
Trying to kill, all of the Negroes on the show? Like, what's really going on?
No, I don't need to drink to be this girly. Yeah.
So don't.
I ain't never going to strip club with y'all. That motherfucker's finna get me kicked out.
I've never been to one. I need that to happen.
You want to go to a strip? You don't want to go to a strip club.
I'm just there for the buffet.
They don't have a buffet. That's a TV myth, bro.
Oh, is it?
Like that, you know, $14.99 T-bone steak that motherfuckers be going to for, it's the best lunch in town with a side of titties. Like, no, that shit don't really exist.
It does.
In California. California's a different world.
Hey, it does in Cincinnati, too, so.
Does it?
Yeah, up in Dayton.
Yeah, I would say it was Dayton. That's where you, I was about to call your man out by name.
All right, anyway, I'm saying.
Hey, no, I think you need to tell him that he needs to thank me for not calling his name out in relation to what we were just about to talk about.
I know what you were going
to
say.
I know you know. And I, again, think you need to thank me and tell him to thank me for not putting him in the streets like this.
What's funny is the reason I know that, I was there with him when I discovered this. I laughed hysterically, and he couldn't stop eating the food from this place.
Now I'm curious.
Food with a side of titties to get you to eat a lot, man.
I guess.
All right.
Again, tangents. Like, I don't know how we got to strip club food, but I love that.
That would be John again.
John took us there, and we went. It was delightful. All right. So the final thoughts on...
No, what about yours, Damon? Did you give yours? Oh, 5.5. Sorry.
No, I gave it a 5.
You gave it a 5.
Even 5.
That's right. Yep. And you got Tony's blood boiling.
Yeah. He's still mad about that shit.
Oh, yeah. I'm furious.
God damn. I'm like... I haven't actually heard someone use the word furious in real life.
Aside from Furious Freddy, I agree.
Furious Styles is my homeboy. But, you know, I'm just saying. What's that? So, yeah.
Sorry, your chuckles of mirth are not convincing me that it's actually sad. I feel like you're getting some kind of enjoyment out of this.
Shouldn't everyone be getting some enjoyment out of this?
Nice dodge, but no.
So you're not...
move on before I stroke out on the podcast.
You sound like you're about to stroke out this bitch. Fuck it, I'm out. I'm out. These motherfuckers keep liking this shit. This shit ain't no good. So,
It's terrible.
As terrible as it may be, that ain't gonna stop us from actually seeing the movie, and it ain't gonna give you your time back. So... you know, the old girl who was in The Following, who was a cold killer, was a weird girl who got folded up. That is worth the price of admission.
Is it?
Someone getting folded up is, like, rare these
days. Exactly.
It's like, you know, watching someone get hit by a car in a movie. Like, that shit still makes me jump up and down.
Dude, yeah, Children of Men, best, like, car accident I've seen on film.
No, Meet Joe Black.
Oh, it's been forever since I saw it.
Oh, you would know the scene if you remembered it. I mean, yeah, motherfucker gets hit by two cars.
Yeah, Meet Joe Black by far, best hitting of all time. Completely unexpected, and he gets bounced across the yellow line, and it is so good, so good. By far the best accent in TV. You know, when I was at school at Boston College, we didn't have cable. They used to have, like, Boston College cable, or what amounted to cable through BC. And each month, they would pick, like, 5 movies that they would play on rotation every day. And at one point, Meet Joe Black was one of those movies. So we never really watched the movie, but one day the movie's on. And we get to that point, I think it's like 23 minutes into the movie, 27 minutes into the movie. And dude just gets fucking splashed. Literally every day for like the next 2 weeks, whenever that movie was on, we were timing it down to go watch that thing, fall out, and then move on with our day. Yeah, little side piece for y'all. Moving right along.
I don't know if we're a bad influence on them or if they're a bad influence on us, but this has been a tangent-terrific fucking episode.
This is a return to form, bitch. This is how we used to do all the time. We never got through shit.
Yeah, this is why we used to have two-hour podcasts, though.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we can't do 2 hours tonight.
Hell no. I figure we got about another 35 minutes.
I'm down for that. Dude, I haven't even seen the rest of the shit.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, the next thing we're going to run into is a little international flick. Korean.
Korean.
It's called Train to Busan. It is a zombie flick. It's like a zombie outbreak movie. So, you know, let me be very clear. This is not like The Walking Dead, where zombies have hit and you're thrust into the world of zombies. This is like the opening stages. This is the first two episodes of Fear the Walking Dead. This is like the shit that we always wanted to see and hear about when it came to the zombie outbreak. But it's in Korean. And we're following a father and his daughter. And how do they get out of the city? How do they get to safety? Obviously, there's a band of characters that starts to roll with them as they attempt to escape the main city on their way to another city. And it's really good. You know, one of the things that I think we, as The Walking Dead has become so incredibly popular, people have just kind of decided that that's going to be the base for all zombie mythos. And that shit is not completely true. So I really like that aspect of it. Nobody else saw this other than Tone?
I didn't see it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I really want to, though.
All right,
yeah, so it's on my list. I'm looking forward to seeing a top-notch horror movie with subtitles.
Yeah, well, there's a number of those, actually. But, you know, so we'll just go ahead and
give that shape. Oh, you know what? Top-notch horror movie with subtitles, try the audition.
Audition.
You know, I haven't seen it, but I did buy it as a birthday gift several years ago.
Try that one out.
Audition's a slow burn, but when that bitch get to burning,
oh boy!
Ooh, yeah. When that bitch get to burning.
Yeah, I paired it with the Bjork box, so it's just horror all around.
What you need to do is go ahead and get a Serbian film and fuck your whole life up.
Yeah, that's kind of Eastern European type of suffering that I'm not ready for yet.
I guarantee you.
Even their happy movies are depressing.
Yeah, no, I guarantee you're not ready for this one. So.
And I need to see Let the Right One In, probably, right?
Yes, you definitely need to see Let the Right One In. That's a great film.
Oh, definitely. But watch the foreign version. The American version is good, but the foreign version is better.
Yeah.
I heard that was better, yeah.
Yeah, Let the Right One In is the foreign version. Let Me In, which was made 4 years later, is the American version. I was still pissed off about that. Because Let the Right One In is a great film.
It did not need to be remade. It was
not
a
at all.
Fucking film.
Yep. Yeah. So, Tone, you were the only one who saw this. You want to talk a little bit about this, man?
One, I think we need to give the fans a heads up, because you're right that The Walking Dead is sort of the metric that we measure these movies by. And on top of all that, like, zombies are, like, a very hotly contested subject. So let me just clarify and say that these are fast-moving zombies. So all y'all don't get mad at me or us because we said it was zombies and you wanted something stumbling around. Like,
oh, these are, like, World War Z zombies.
More like 28 Days Later.
Okay. Yes, 28 Days Zombies. Well, they're not quite that fast. But,
I mean, nothing is. Nothing is infected with the rage. So, you know, Crazy Carl from Connecticut would be like, they're not zombies. Well, they eat people. Fuck it, they are.
This is why I had to make the clarification. That being said, this movie really is. I was walking in expecting it to be like a horror movie, Snowpiercer. That's what I was sort of expecting it to be. And it was not.
No.
It's really kind of it's gruesome, first of all. It's brutal. And it also has this weird comment on, like, collectivism and fatherhood and like what it means to be a man. It's just, it's a weird melange of topics. But, you know, that's on the higher level.
What was that word again?
If you don't want that, that's just... What shade am I getting now?
Nothing. No shade. We're just going to keep moving. So...
Hashtag not my SAP words.
Right. So here's what I said. There are moments on the train and off the train.
Hey, you know what? I paid good money for the education. I'm going to use my SAT words. You can kiss my black ass.
Why don't you keep drinking? How about that?
I was going to say now or after. Let me know.
Ooh. Boom.
We call them bluffs out here. Yeah. Get the tukus ready. We can call Conolangus.
Anyway, the point that I was making is that the movie's got layers, but it works on multiple levels. So if all you want to see is motherfuckers getting beat up and bitten and beat down, you're going to get that. If you want to look for a little bit of meaning, it's there too. And also, like, it's really got some classic elements of, like, Korean horror.
Yeah.
Like, the contortionism, the weird, like, it's just...
Oh man!
It really just has all.
There are a couple moments. Good fucking. There's a couple moments where the contortionist would be like, "Ooh, that shit had to hurt."
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
But you know, I actually liked this film a lot. You know, the more I watched it, the more I liked. You know, I like the characterization that they create. I also like the. They took something that can be too big. But they gave it enough space kind of outward from the two main characters so that you can be invested in some of the peripheral characters. And I really like that aspect of it because they start to, you know, add color. And next thing you know, they're part of the Scooby Gang. And now you care about the Scooby Gang. And, you know, of course, what happens, you know, you'll find out. But, yeah, I like that aspect of it a lot. That's on the goddamn train.
Yeah, and so, yeah, so it's very claustrophobic. Yeah. But, again, just, I mean, look, if you want a good smash-mouth film, this is your thing. Like, if you want something that comments on society today, this is your thing. Like, if you want something scary, this is definitely your thing. If you want gore, this is your thing.
Like, but to be fair, really it's not that gory. Comparatively.
It's pretty gory.
If you think about it.
I'm not talking about Rob Zombie levels of gore, but...
I'm not even talking about Walking Dead levels. So if you look at...
the trailer, it doesn't really seem to, like, linger on it, like a lot of movies do.
No,
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, it's very passing. There's no sin
here. No, it doesn't linger on it, but to say it's not there, that's just not true. Like, there's plenty of gore. There are entrails ripped out. People.
Not very often. Not very often.
No, they don't linger on it. Like, but, yeah.
It's in the background.
Once they show you that the first few times, after that... You know, you sort of fill in the blanks with your mind, and you know, like, okay, I know this is what's going to happen when this guy gets a hold of him.
Yeah, but that's a zombie film in general, though. Because, you know, part of the way you're filling in the blanks with shit that doesn't happen in this movie. Because we've all watched The Walking Dead to the point where The Walking Dead, and, you know, shout out to Greg Nicotero, he's gone the extra mile to show you the decay of the body, how easily the stuff, like, spills out of them, and, like, the hot geyser of fresh blood if somebody gets a neck bite, like all that kind of shit. They've made it so realistic that in your mind, if you see someone get bit, that's what you're expecting. That's not always true. That go a little bit too theoretical on y'all?
No, I'm intrigued. I actually really want to watch this, and you know, I'm not the biggest like horror fan, but it sounds great.
Yeah, it's good fun.
It's a good flick.
Yeah. Scott?
I'm looking forward to it. I think I'm the one that mentioned it. I mentioned a buddy of mine had said he went to a small theater out in San Fran to see it, and he wrote me and told me that I need to check it out, and I had never even heard of it before. And I think I mentioned it to Damon, like, hey, we should check this movie out, and I just haven't had a chance to see it yet.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's a good film. All right. Tone, what are your slashes for Train to Busan?
Oh, man, it's tough because I really like this one and I want to go, like, far out on it. But realistically, there are some issues with, like, cinematography and makeup.
I'm not down for that, so.
Yeah, they're an issue. But I just enjoyed it so much, so I'm going to go with, like, a 7.5.
I'm going
to. Like, from a popcorn standpoint, like, you're going to enjoy the shit out of your popcorn and Coke with this. But, there's just some issues with it. And not only that, but there's some issues with the story. Like, the COO character.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that they keep giving him so many chances when he has shown his full asshole.
Yep.
It just doesn't make any sense.
But if we're thinking... But, you know, the other thing we got to take into consideration, society-wise, maybe that rings true.
Well, and there's, I'm sure there's a cultural aspect there.
Right.
And so, yeah, but I'm not Korean. So from the Negro standpoint of view, it makes no damn sense. So, you know, y'all want to listen to, you know, Get Out the Room in Korean, however that's said, that's cool. You can get that perspective.
Wow. But
that's not this show.
Maybe so, Korean counterparts to okay. Come on the show.
A 7.5.
All right.
I'm here for the baby slash.
Good. Here for the baby slash? I'm giving it 8.5.
Oh, there we go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let me give it an 8. I liked it, though. I liked it a lot. A very enjoyable flick for me. And also, I give credence to... like, I'll give a pass to certain shit in an international film, particularly because I'm not sure if that's a cultural decision or a filmmaking decision. So if I can't make a distinction between those two, then I'm going to give the film the benefit of the doubt. So, yeah.
I mean, we're only a point apart. I ain't mad at that.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's where I'm at with that. So, all right. So now we're going to roll into a little bit of a guest topic talk because none of us gave four fucks enough to go see this film. So we brought them on to talk about it. And Brandon and John are going to talk about When the Bell Rings. Go.
All right. So I'm not sure if this is going to be a continuous tradition, but it's happened 3 times in a row so far, so I guess it is. Every September, Sony makes what I like to call the Sony Fall Negro Horror Picture. This usually over-the-top, ridiculous thriller with a mostly, if not all, African-American cast comes out in September. Movie's not good, but everybody goes to see it so they can go and gasp and laugh in the theater and, you know, do all the things that black people do in the theater, you know, literally say out loud, "Get out the room, girl," you know, or, you know, you know, "Knock out, run over."
And that was just me, yeah.
You know, so this year, that movie is When the Bell Breaks. It stars Morris Chestnut, who was in last year's Sony Negro Horror Picture, The Perfect Guy, with Michael Ealy and Sanaa Lathan. Regina Hall, who's been in a whole
bunch. They are getting checks.
Yeah, Regina Hall's been in a bunch of these, like, Sony screen gems, black movies, rom-coms, and Jazz Sinclair, who doesn't have, the film says introducing, she's had other credits, but none as big as this. Basically, it's a sort of lazy remake of Fatal Attraction and The Hand That Rocks the Cradle, where this couple in her 40s, Regina Hall and Morris Chestnut, she has been trying for years to have kids. And so they decided to hire a surrogate. And they're down, of course, to their very last viable embryo, and they hire Jazz Sinclair's character to be their surrogate. Her name is Anna. The couple's names in this film are John and Laura Taylor. As you can tell, the names are sort of kind of a wash in this thing. The only thing is that they don't realize is that Anna and her boyfriend, played by Theo Rossi, are trying to run a scam on them. They want her to get pregnant with their baby and then hold them up for more money because, of course, legally, apparently, I'm guessing this is correct law, the baby is hers until she actually physically relinquishes custody of it. But what happens is that she ends up falling for John, the husband, and that throws the whole scam off the rails, but also, of course, creates conflict within between her and John. And, well, the wife is more or less absent throughout a lot of this. Regina Hall's character, she is a celebrity chef. And so she's, like, in and out of the house. John is, like, a high-powered lawyer at a corporate law firm. So it's mostly a movie about Morris Chestnut being so morally sound and upstanding of a husband that he refuses to even look at or touch the Jazz Sinclair character at any point in the movie.
Why might that be, Brandon?
Because he's a good, loyal husband.
Why might that be written into the story?
Oh, yeah, Morris Chestnut's executive producer of the film.
Hey, sometimes you gotta put your best foot forward. Gotta put your best face out there. Right. Y'all not gonna have me out in these streets looking crazy. I'm gonna look good for everybody. Right. Everybody.
And so the more she gets rejected, the more the Jazz Sinclair character does to try to seduce Morris Chestnut, and the crazier the story gets and the attrition of these things. Chairs get thrown, things get tossed. Beings die. Of, you know, I'm just saying beings right now. I don't want to spoil it for those who actually do want to go see the movie. Here's the thing. If you go see this movie, you have to see the movie, A, in the theater, B, on a weekend, and C, in a theater that's at least a quarter or more full, prefer as full as possible, with the predominantly African-American audience.
To be fair, this has been out for a few weeks. Do we still believe that's possible?
No.
It may not. Everybody mostly saw it opening weekend. My theater was mostly that.
You're probably going to have to wait until there's a screening at church.
Oh.
They're not screening at church.
A church fundraiser, then.
They're not screening at the church fundraiser.
Put the copy at... I know some ratchet black folks, but it's like, put the copy of the Ten Commandments to the side.
What kind of backsliding Christian church is this?
It's tough times up here in East Cleveland, that's all I'm saying.
Tough times in East Cleveland, huh?
But yeah, so like, when I saw it in the theater, it was me and my friend Joshua, and we laughed the entire time instead of the theater. Like, I think they get it by now. There's some lines in this movie that it's very clear that this movie was designed to, you know, just for everybody to have a good time and laugh at.
I don't think so. I took a straw poll at work. And I'm like, you know, it plays more of a comedy. They're like, no, it's not. It's scary. I'm like, oh, no.
People were really scared.
People would thought were really scared. They took the suspenseful. They took the movie at face value. You know, it didn't play as a dark comedy to them.
Oh, I cackled the entire way.
I mean, it's pretty disappointing. It's not the movie you go into with the expectation of it being good.
Oh, no, you really don't. You go in to enjoy it because, like, it's definitely for so bad it's good night. But it is, if you have fun with it, it is a great, ridiculous ride. If you go by yourself and you're trying to evaluate it as a work of cinema, no, absolutely not. It's awful.
Yeah, you're going to be mad as shit, sounds like. Well, thanks for doing that for us because there's even some things we won't do. So,
hey, I do stats on this because I was looking at this the whole time you're talking. So this thing was made for $10 million. It made $24 already.
Oh, they make money, to be
fair. Black folks going to support.
Dude, this the Rotten Tomatoes on this shit is 6%.
Yeah, it was at zero for like...
Yeah, it came up.
Yeah.
It peaked at 7 last week and it has gone down more.
We cover some bullshit on this show, but damn.
We do cover some bullshit.
Wow.
It's a niche topic. We talk a lot of black movies on Say Something Nice podcast. Some are good, some are terrible. You know, some like this are intentionally terrible, we hope. So it kind of fits in the wheelhouse there that way.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I'm not going to lie to you. I was still laughing about like 12 hours later when I was at home, you know, just thinking about the movie. I was still laughing at it. Like, I had a blast.
This was a real turd.
Hey, you know, this has Romani Malco in it, too.
Yeah, he does.
Romany Marcos in there?
Yeah, yeah, I'm a fan.
For Chestnut's Competition Network.
So he dies.
Hey, he's a get out the room favorite.
He is.
He's the namesake for the show.
Yeah, he's a voice on the clip. So he dies, clearly.
Exactly.
Like, there's no way he makes it. If he's going to be the...
He's the Malik Yoba for horror movies.
He's much more talented than that.
He actually is second to Keith David. Keith David is the absolute... There was a time when we couldn't get through an episode without talking about Keith David.
That's true.
Keith David!
I mean, just for Princess and the Frog, he's great in that.
No.
No. No, I don't know why. Really, why are you trying to drive me to, like, a stroke?
Keith David actually is fine in Princess and the Frog. It's just not... The movie is sort of kind of... It's not bad. It's just sort of kind of... It's pleasantly divertible is the word I used last week.
What the fuck is that?
It basically
means understand that, what that, podcast you were on right now. That is not the movie he's going to be known for.
We're going
to
put
he's
it.
He's going to be known for They Live.
We're going to put it on
one of the greatest thing.
Hercules, Mulan, Princess and the Frog,
and the Thing.
The B tier of Disney movies.
We don't know anything about those. The Thing.
No.
Is that what you said?
He said They Live.
Yeah, greatest cinematic fight of all time.
Of all time.
I'm looking it up on IMDb right now.
Wait a minute, you've never seen It Live?
Get on that, son.
Wait, have you seen The Thing? Tell me you've seen The Thing, though.
I've not.
Oh,
holy fuck. All right, John, so grab your boo. Y'all need to sit down and watch this.
Y'all need to have a conversation.
Oh, this is super 80s. I see. John Carpenter.
Yeah. The Thing is, like, it's actually rated. Back when we used to have 7 cast members every episode, we took a poll, and The Thing came out to be the highest rated film amongst all of us.
Really?
Yeah. It's the get out the room.
The Thing is fabulous.
Yeah.
A drifter absolutely discovers a pair of sunglasses that allow him to wake up.
Talking about They Live. Yeah.
That They Live.
Okay. Yeah, They Live is good. Roddy Piper is good in his shit.
Yeah.
He good
so
in that.
So was Keith David.
Well, I mean, Keith David, like, that's what made it accessible for us, though. Outside of The Wrestler, they have, a really baller and gangster commanding black dude. Like, he was the black dude for a little while. If it wasn't James Earl Jones, it was him. Because he did have...
There was a couple of those. It was Keith David, Bill Duke.
Well, Bill Duke, he started directing and producing really soon after that. Because after Predator, he started producing pretty good. Because he felt like there wasn't enough roles for
us. Also in the Rock Project, Doom, still looking exactly the damn same.
Yeah, he looks the same. Because, I mean, motherfuckers still need checks now. We got to get checks.
I'm saying, like, he's still out here working. He ain't retired by any stretch of the imagination.
No. Bill Duke can't retire. He do it to death. He's going to be 98 years old doing it to death.
Hey, still look good. There's something about Mary, Pitch Black, Requiem for a Dream.
Keith David is still good to this day. He motherfucker was good.
Yeah, you're right. He really can't do. Oh yeah, he really.
He was good in ATL.
Barbershop. Yep.
Yeah. He good all the time. He good. Like he bonafide good. Like you don't have to name anything. He gonna be good in whatever.
Dead Presidents.
There's some shit that he's been in that he's above. But he good.
He was in Smiley.
He was in Smiley, and that shit hurt us.
Yeah,
that did hurt us. That was the one time when we had to take a step back.
Like, we had to evaluate his career. Like, he probably didn't. He was like, what you doing, bro? What are you
he
doing?
Probably, I bet he was on set like, what the fuck is this bullshit?
The check's clear. He was there.
I was like, look, my third kid's getting ready to go to college.
Yep.
I'll just get this check right quick.
Yep. She didn't get in Spellman, so I had to pay for Howard.
I mean, he's not Christopher Lee or Michael Caine bad, at least. Talk about actors in anything.
He had to pay for his health insurance, you know.
Yeah, he had to get that premium right quick. He's like, all right, look, I'm going to do this bullshit-ass movie and get my check. Yep. Call it a day.
So the Thing is the other version, the other thing I need to see, right?
Absolutely. No, the thing is...
Oh, yeah, you have to see The Thing.
Okay, yes. The 82 version, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Yes. Although the recent one is still pretty good.
The Joel Edgerton one?
Shot for shot.
The Joel Edgerton one?
Yeah, even
no, though... No, 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 it wasn't shot for shot. That shit was a prequel.
Yeah, it was a prequel.
No, you know what, you're right. It was a prequel, but it was very faithful to the original.
Yeah.
Although, you gotta watch out, because they got my homegirl Bilbo Baggins in it. Yeah. So, like, just be prepared to see some...
Nah, man. Nah, that's Mary Elizabeth Winstead. That's Mew. Mew is in that joint.
God. No, I thought for sure that was Noomi.
Nope. Yeah, nope. Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Oh, Erebisi's in that. There you go.
You ain't gonna get my girl Mew out here and slandering the Mew. She good.
You know what? You're right. No, Noomi's good. She got some big ass feet.
Oh, you talking about Noomi Rapace? Talking about she got hobbies.
Yeah. She does.
I like her. I like her a lot. Yeah.
I'm a big Noomi Rapace fan. Dad knew me. But,
yeah, I'm looking forward to they're finally doing the sequel to Prometheus. And I think she's finally going to be in it, so that'll be good.
Yeah, but they changed it up. Did you hear about that?
Mm-hmm. It's not like a straight-out like sequel and things like that.
Well, it was supposed to be they were going to the you know, the father planet to see, like, the people who... The progenitor planet.
Yep.
Now it's sort of like somewhere between like Alien and Alien, whatever.
It's set way after Prometheus.
Yeah.
It's set way after Prometheus.
Which is a shame, because I really wanted to see that movie.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I'm sure we'll get a little bit, you know, we'll get some answers, I hope.
She'll pop up in it, and Michael Fassbender's back in it, so.
Yep.
Got to start with those two, so. If you go anywhere, you got to start there.
Yeah, no, they were the most compelling characters in the movie by
far. Oh yeah, and I liked fake Tom Hardy there for a little bit too, but yeah.
Oh yeah, Logan Marshall Green.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't do anything well until he got to The Invitation. The Invitation was by far his best work.
I think that was on TV the other day.
The Invitation's dope.
Yeah.
Slow burner all the way through, but that ending though. That yes, ending. So, yeah, I'm all for The Invitation. Anything else we got running through here? Wait, are we still on When the Vow Breaks?
Hold on. I would love to know, of those of us who saw When the Vow Breaks, what was your favorite line? Because we know that this movie was not about the quality. It was about the one-liners and the gags. So, what was your favorite line?
My favorite line.
Where you can go, Brandon?
When Regina Hall tells Morris Chestnut, "Listen, I don't care what you have to do. Don't tell me about it. But please go get this woman and get our baby back." She's basically giving Morris Chestnut a hall pass to go and cheat on her in order to get the surrogate to, you know, come back and, you know, bring back their baby.
You can keep it. You can keep it.
My favorite thing isn't so much the dialogue, because the dialogue is, like, not great. It was more the, how they, I don't want to throw spoilers out here, but what happens to,
Spoil it, son. Spoil the shit out of it. This is
It's legitimately the best thing in the movie, but what happens to Jess and Claire's boyfriend in the movie?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so don't spoil it, though. We'll wait on that. If that's the best thing in a whole movie.
Yeah, because he's a pretty awful character. I mean, as far as, like, the character's poorly written, and I'm like, how is he going to... Okay, that's fine, never mind.
This just sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, really, like, you guys haven't seen it, but the trailer for it is ridiculous. It's with the slowed down, supposedly, like, creepy version of The Boy Is Mine.
How does it go, Brandon? Can you sing something?
No, I was asked not to do that. go to YouTube and look it up and watch it on the YouTube.
Any Milli Vanilli? Anybody doing any Milli Vanilli? No?
Yeah, Dave apparently said this is not that podcast.
Yeah. No. We karaoke's not what we do here. girl, you know it's true. No, I'm sorry.
As you come in, sing the song.
I mean, it's Milli Vanilli, son. Hold on, I'm about to do the dance in the background.
Before we move on, girl. Brandon, how many slashes?
Yeah, how many slashes?
Negative. If you see it with people and have fun with it, 7.
We are not going to the Black Theater to go see When the Bow Breaks.
That's the only reason to go see it.
Jump in your DeLorean. Opening night, the Magic Johnson Theater.
Good God.
Ninjas deep in there. Ninjas taking their mother to go see it. Nah.
Or you can watch it at, you know, you put it on at a party.
Church fundraiser.
Not a church fundraiser. Them old ladies will fall out.
Dude, they're the main people seeing this stuff.
Hell yeah.
On Saturday, not on Sunday, not in the Lord house.
Talk bad about Tyler Perry if you want.
The pastor's wife's house. It's going to be a double feature. It's going to be that and Boo with Madea Halloween.
You know what? I don't know why you want to keep stepping on my motherfucking toes in the show.
You guys are going to have us back on to talk about Boo with Madea Halloween because we're both going to go see that.
Yo, seriously, like, you're about to have Tone have a fucking conniption. Like, there's a blood vessel bursting in his head right now off this shit.
This is why
I got a vein on my forehead that's about 3 inches thick right now. Like, I don't know why the devil is tempting me, but he is a lie.
Pause.
And I rebuke you.
The devil busy.
I think he just called me an Ofe.
Definitely called you. Fly people.
I like that you used the correct term of Ofe though. That was cute. I like that.
He's black familiar. So.
Teach one.
Yeah. Clearly.
He's black familiar. He's been in the Caprice when it's been pulled over before.
God. I give the movie 2 slashes.
That's more than I actually gave it on its own merit.
I enjoy it, but you know.
2 is just a good sounding number for a terrible movie. You get 2.
I mean, it's shot competently.
I mean, I accept it for what confidence. It is.
Right. Shot competently. These families use cameras.
It's more than you can say for any of the Tyler Perry films, you know?
That's true.
Dude can't even do blocking.
That's true.
But the question is, were they shot at the same? They were shot at the same studio.
I don't know where they shot When the Bow Breaks. I don't think it was shot here because Tyler Perry, of course, I'm in Atlanta, and Tyler Perry, of course, has 2 studios here. He just built the second one over at Fort McPherson, but
both non-union.
It's sticky now. Some of the stuff is union now because it has to be.
I thought the second one was union.
Ooh. I think the first one is now too. After they resolved the whole thing with the picketing and the boycotting and stuff, you know.
Yeah, that should sound like Bill Cosby and the picketing and the boycotting.
Putting pots. Yeah, I think they shot this at Pinewood in you know.
Let me look it up because I don't know. It seems like, but I don't think they made it all the way to Pinewood. Like they have another studio here, EUE Screen Gems. That's where they shot Barbershop 3. They might have shot it there.
I put it in her ear. So,
oh god, I just caught that.
I'm just trying to slot him in. You know what I mean?
They did have a good Bill Cosby joke during the Emmys. They announced him as a presenter and watched. They did reaction shots of the audience to see him freak out.
Yep. Jimmy Kimmel. Does anybody actually like Jimmy Kimmel?
Yeah. I don't.
I used to.
Until he broke up with Summer, or what?
Well, Brandon's problem with him is he's too cozy with Matt Damon.
What'd that mean?
I don't like Matt Damon.
Why not?
He tried to white-splain diversity to Effie Brown. And
yes, he did.
My shit list.
Nah, you're right.
That was amazing.
Nah, he need to get his wig snatched for that. Yeah, I'll fuck with that. I'll fuck with you.
When the Bell Breaks was shot in New Orleans. It's set in New Orleans, but it was also shot there.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Yeah, because usually motherfuckers just do not film in the place where they say they actually doing it.
Being Mary Jane is shot in L.A. now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Being Mary Jane is still set in Atlanta, but it's shot in L.A. now because they won a tax break pool or whatever it is that they enabled over in L.A.
And you know what? You can see it. I mean, I lived in L.A. for like 11 years, and I'm like, this is not, this, like, I know that corner. I used to get tacos in that corner. Like, y'all not in Atlanta.
Same thing when I, like, they shot the last Fast and the Furious movie downtown here, but I watched, like, Winter Soldier, and it just looks like Euclid Avenue here. You know, it's, it, I can't.
Oh, Winter Soldier's definitely fucking Cleveland.
All the way.
They, but they got the decals for DC police cars, right. But that shit is definitely Cleveland.
Forget which movie this was, but they, you know, it was supposed to be like filmed in Chicago.
Empire.
So what now?
I said Empire, which is true. They shoot in Chicago.
No, it's not Empire because I recognize those streets because I'm originally from Chicago. I forget what the movie was, but it was this movie like, oh, this is Chicago. And
you said
at
you know like everybody else knew. Ain't nobody know that shit.
Oh, you mean like a movie that's set in Chicago but not shot there? Barbershop 3, The Next Cut.
Yeah.
That was shot in Atlanta, though, right?
Shot in Atlanta, but it's still set in Chicago. But you can tell.
Yeah, it's set in Chicago, but it wasn't shot in Chicago.
Right. You can see the seam in the special effects shot when they're doing the establishing shot of where the Atlanta building stopped, and they've, you know, floated in the the skyscrapers of Chicago as a background plate.
Wow. Scott, are you enjoying your tour through black cinema?
Yeah, my copy of Barbershop 3 from Netflix, because yeah. I still get the disc that's sitting on my table still.
Oh, my God.
I've only had it for like 2 weeks, so I'm doing good. I Trumbo for about 4 months.
It's not a bad movie.
I had Date Night for two and a half years.
Wow.
I Newsies for a year. Like, I never watched it. I'm like, I can't do it.
You win.
You win.
Well, I saw the Broadway version, so I'm like, yeah, maybe I can do it now. No.
Yeah. You win.
Fucking Newsies. Good God.
Yeah, that should serve. So before we get out of here, is there anything else y'all want to talk about? Y'all going to bring here?
I think I derailed us enough.
The Exorcist comes on Fox, the new series. Do you think Friday at 9?
Yep.
Me and Brandon haven't seen the movie yet.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm actually going to try to watch the movie sometime this week so that I can watch the show.
God, you're fucking killing me.
Thought I'd pull you under the bus with me, Brandon. You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks.
What are your white friends for?
Exactly.
Brandon's like, I was going to try and fake. I seen that joint, I'm scary. But now...
It ain't that. I grew up in a very religious household, so you
As
know.
You said last time, you scared.
That too, yeah.
he has seen Abby, though, so that is worth a topic of discussion in of itself, though.
Right.
But did he see Maggie?
No, but y'all heard of Abby, right? The Black Exorcist ripoff that Warner Brothers sued for and won. And got it shut down.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, apparently you can't find it anymore, right?
Well, you not legally, no. But, you know, people still sell bootlegs of
qualification. It was like, well, not legally.
Well, actually, I don't know. It might be a gray area. It might be in the public domain by now. Because I know they sell it, like, on Amazon. Yeah, you can buy it. It comes to your house.
You can get it at horror conventions. Because I know they had it at the horror convention Scott and I went to, right next to a Serbian film.
I'm still looking for that blaxploitation zombie movie. What's that called?
Sugar Hill.
I had Sugar Hill near my desk, not right?
Hold on. Wow.
What?
No. We're good.
Meet Sugar Hill and her zombie hitmen. The mafia has never met anything like them.
Okay, look, if you're going to watch a blaxploitation horror film... No, that's not even horror. It's kind of horror, but nah, forget it. I was going to tell you to watch Brother from Another Planet, but that's not really horror.
Nah, that shit's definitely not horror.
Sci-fi thriller.
Yeah,
that shit ain't horror.
But it's
Scott,
good.
You still with us?
I'm just listening. This is good stuff.
Scott's the white dude at the barbershop right now. Loving Lou.
Oh, Joe Morrison brought up another planet. Hey.
You gotta watch Blackula. Blackula's a really good film.
I've seen Blackula and also Scream, Blackula Scream as well.
Brother from Another Planet is streaming on Amazon Prime. Hey.
There you go.
Watch that shit. It's got Papa Pope in it.
Who I know from Eureka.
Oh, okay.
Underrated show. All
right.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Anything else you want to get into before we get out of here?
I'm just going to reiterate that everybody needs to be watching Quarry because that shit's fucking amazing. I also want to. What was the other joint I was watching today? Fuck it. I lost it. Whatever.
Gone. I think I'm watching a movie called The Forest with Natalie Dormer, and this shit is about the terrible.
I'm disappointed. I like her quite a bit. She's a good Moriarty.
The other one is Outcast. Outcast is a horror movie about a little boy who's possessed. He gets exorcised. The demon then immediately jumps to his mother, and everybody just in his little town assumes that his mom is just a piece of shit beating the shit out of him, not knowing that his mom has actually been possessed by a demon. Finally, the mom is exorcised, and for whatever reason, he has this power. Like whenever he touches a person that's exorcised, it's like they can't. He breaks the connection immediately. But he's a complete recluse because the demons are tracking him. And so, like, his mom, he was possessed. He got out of it. Then they attacked his mom. He cured his mom. Then they attacked his daughter. Then they attacked his wife. And his whole life is just a shit show.
It reminds me a little bit of The Shining, the sequel they did to it. Yeah.
You know, speaking of The Shining, read the follow-up book to that.
Dr. Sleep. Yeah, it reminds me of that a little bit.
Oh, yeah. So good. So good.
Heard it was good. Never read it.
Oh, it was amazing. They even make a small, hint that maybe the reason why Danny, the child lead in The Shining, maybe the reason why his father was targeted was because he had a little bit of The Shining, too.
Right.
They're making a film version of it, apparently.
Yeah, of course they are.
Look, are they really?
If Scott McCarruthers not in it, I don't want no part.
Yeah, Akiva Goldsmith, yeah.
I really want them to bring Scott McCarruthers back.
How?
Well, if we got a hologram of Tupac and Biggie, we can get a hologram of Scott McCarruthers. And I want him to do his Transformers voice. Start calling people Prowl for no reason and shit.
Either that or Hong Kong Fu.
Yeah. Jazz was my favorite. So. Alright. There's a lot of shit coming out. For those of you who went to the Blair Witch, did the Annabelle 2 trailer procedure film?
It did,
yes.
Okay. So. Now, not everybody fucks with that film. Scott, in particular, does not fuck with Annabelle at all.
I'm not interested.
I think this is a Blumhouse production. I don't particularly like it. I didn't like the first one. But the breaking of bone sound and the unnatural way the body moved with that little girl, I was like, holy fuck.
It was an effective trailer.
That trailer was good as shit.
Did you see the one for Bye Bye Man?
No, that wasn't in front of mine.
Oh, they're setting him up to be like a new icon. Like it's like a supernatural slasher icon.
No, I had that Deepwater Horizon shit.
Oh yeah, see now that looks pretty good. I do think that looks pretty good.
Well, Mark Wahlberg's in it, so.
But dude, Kurt Russell is in it.
You can keep it.
Kurt Russell is in it.
Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, damn. You're really breaking my heart right here.
You can keep it. All right.
Not a Marky Mark fan?
No, I'm not.
No.
I'm not.
Oh.
What broke you on him?
Starred in. Like, he's a great, producer. He's produced some good stuff, but I don't want to see nothing he's in.
I mean, he's been in good things, just not starring, you know, like The Departed is good, you know.
Yeah, he can't carry a film. He's
I don't need him in a starring role.
Yeah, no, he's great as a, you know.
Am I going to get things thrown at you for saying I like Ted? I like Ted.
I like Ted.
The first one's good, the second one's bad.
Oh, well, yeah.
I think Ted's a pretty solid choice. I think you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, the first one's good.
But is it just...
I'll tell you another one.
Look kind of Mongolian or something.
Painted Gain was okay.
Painting Gang, yeah.
Isn't that movie like 2 hours and 40 minutes long?
That's
a Rod project, though. That's really a Kevin Johnson project.
Well, we've talked about Painting Gain a lot on the podcast because it's like a dark comedy and there's a lot going on with it.
A lot of people didn't realize it was a dark comedy, though.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was good in I Heart Huckabees. I think the best
thing he's
done, the best thing he's done, I think, is Three Kings.
No, I don't know. Maybe Renaissance Man or,
The Fighter is a good movie and he's in it.
Oh yeah, The Fighter is good.
Yep. Fighter is good.
He's done some good things. I don't want to say.
Yeah, I consider him like a Yale Man worker. You know, like he's a journeyman.
He's also done The Happening though.
Right, which is like.
That's no. I mean, that's Night Shyamalan. Anything that motherfucker touches, when he puts his pen to pad, it's going to be terrible.
Mark Wahlberg was bad in that movie. But he was bad in that movie, though.
Yeah, in a movie full of really terrible performances, he's one of the worst.
To be fair, it's probably hard to run from nothing, though.
Exactly.
Look, right. If I'm multiplying nothing from nothing, I've still got nothing.
Yeah, no, it was a terrible script. Like, you can't, come on.
Yeah, that scene of him talking to the old woman, though, is just... in the
painful.
House. What? No.
What up, goat?
What up, goat?
It's your goat. Say to your mother for me.
I can't eat. Why are we even talking about this shit? Like, y'all give me a headache. Like, that movie was so bad.
Say hi to your mother for me. That shit's still good to me.
Ugh. That shit is so bad. So bad.
Yeah.
I really don't. I remember thinking, like, why are they still giving this motherfucker money to write movies? Like, he's so bad.
it's not a good film. But, moving on. Before we get out of here, let us allow our guests to tell us where they can find you. Brandon, where can the good people find you online? And your podcast.
Okay, you can find me online at BTouch on Twitter, as John likes to point out all the time.
Yeah, any of your negative comments about golden showers or anything else that's problematic, I'm about to get yelled at.
Definitely not editing that shit out.
But your brain's just tired at this point.
It's almost 2 o'clock, yeah. So you can find our show at ssmpodcast.com. You can also find it on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, and Acast. If you just search Say Something Nice Podcast on any of those services, will pop up. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram under the handle at ssmpodcast as well.
All right.
You can find John at GoOnSSN on Twitter. That's that way you can harass him about, you know, anything you heard tonight. That,
amazingly, you know, that does not happen. I just get nasty comments on SoundCloud.
Everyone gets nasty comments on SoundCloud.
Is that a thing?
Yes.
Huh.
Your mama baking biscuits on SoundCloud gonna get clowned, so. Alright. So, is that it for your contact information, John? Is there anything else? Is there a place we can see you if we go to Cleveland? We see you in the streets?
No, not at all.
Shut that down immediately. No, there isn't, sir. Thanks. All right. Tone, people can find you at?
You can catch me at Twitter, at FakeWilliamCat. You can also get me at Get Out the Room. I'll let Damon fill in all the other specifics where Get Out the Room can be found. And I was almost drunk enough to go on my Instagram, but I'm not going to do it. So that's going to be it.
Wow. All right. And Scott, the people, if they are so inclined, or rather, if you are so inclined to engage on social media, where might they find you?
At Phenom Pirate, and that's if I even remember my password, so I don't even know what my Twitter password is, so.
All right, well.
If I'm on there, then, hey, it's like finding gold at the end of a rainbow.
One way to look at it. you can find the Get Out the Room podcast at getouttheroom.podomatic.com. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher Radio. You can find us basically anywhere good podcasts are found. You can find us on the Wicked Radio Network, hopefully. And Listenopoly, your home plate for POC content on the web. You can find me at DAE021. And generally, I'm the person who runs the at Get Out the Room Twitter handle account. So that's where you can get us. We'd like to thank our guests, Brandon and John, for jumping in. They have took us into some places we did not expect to go. And that's why we have guests, because that shit is great. Still not editing out the golden showers.
That's Beatles song, you know what I mean?
We appreciate y'all. Thanks for giving up your time. I know it was late, so I genuinely appreciate it. And thanks for all
this. Thanks for having us.
Yep, no problem. Thank you.
Yeah, man. You know, last time you gave us some child molesters and rapists in an attempt to give us a really difficult transition. This time you gave us gold showers. So we never know what we're going to get from y'all.
Curveballs.
From John. No, that's...
Brandon's like, don't put me in that shit.
Hey, association.
Yeah, definitely guilty by association. Y'all rep the same smart tech, so, you know.
Hi, Brandon.
Hi, John.
If anybody gets that smart tech joke, just, you know, please let me know. I'll send y'all $5. Nobody ever gets a smart tech joke. Right. Nobody ever gets a smart tech joke.
It went over my head.
Me too.
Again, nobody ever gets a smart tech joke. So I'm going to explain it to you because I'm going to drop it again at some point, but I'm going to explain it to y'all. See who listens to it all the way to the end of the show. Smart tech is where all the guys from the 40-year-old virgin worked.
Oh.
Aha. Yes.
So, when, you know, when Kevin Hart came in there, talking about, that's your boy, y'all both going to get clapped up. He's like, yeah, we rep the same smart tech. So, you know, there it is.
Brandon, I'll take you with me.
Y'all already rep the same smart tech. You know, I don't know which one of y'all is running from Paula and which one of y'all is trying to get fucked by Paula, but so I don't know. But, you know, that's y'all smart tech. So figure that out.
Lord.
So no one's singing you seductive, sexy songs in Spanish, Brendan?
Not currently.
But if it was her, though. Ugh.
Jane Lynn?
Yeah, I've never got any Spanish, so that's all him, yeah.
That's really funny.
I'm not coming on that.
But yeah, man. Thank y'all for coming out. This is it. Get Out of the Room, episode 70. 79. So, we'll holler at y'all later. Peace.
Peace.
Peace. Peace.